This is a long-term game because what we want to do is get such massive oil reserves in Iran out of the hands of terrorists. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to experience here in the short term is highly outweighed of the long-term benefit, because ultimately we're not going to have to worry about these issues in the Strait of Hormuz because we're going to get all of the oil out of the hands of terrorists.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, March the 7th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Washington Post article. Let's begin there. We are seven, eight days into this conflict, this war in Iran, and the Washington Post, they decided to post an article with the title, "Intel Report Warns Large-Scale War Unlikely to Oust Iran's Regime. A classified U.S. report doubts that Iran's opposition would take power following either a short or extended U.S. military campaign." So I wonder if the Trump administration was given this intel report. The Washington Post, which is very closely aligned with the CIA, right? Jeff Bezos owned a Washington Post. Is the Washington Post still owned by Bezos? But they are saying that a week into this conflict, no regime change has happened. And they're now saying, you know what? We had a report which said that there is going to be no regime change in Iran. Not going to happen, or very unlikely to happen. So Trump posted on Truth Social that what he is expecting from Iran is an unconditional surrender. Is that the goal now? An unconditional surrender? That's the objective? That's what Trump posted on Truth Social. Trump to Axios. He also spoke to Axios, huh? Unconditional surrender is when Iran can't fight any longer. So that's Trump's definition of an unconditional surrender, when Iran cannot fight any longer. He posted on Truth Social, "There will be no deal with Iran except unconditional surrender after that, and the selection of a great and acceptable leader. We and many of our wonderful and very brave allies and partners will work tirelessly to bring Iran back from the brink of destruction, making it economically bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Iran will have a great future. Make Iran great again. MEGA. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump." So the president of Iran, Pezeshkian, he said in a statement that there will be no surrender. Not going to happen. That's what Pezeshkian said. And then he also went on to say, allegedly, he said that Iran, according to the council that is doing much of the governing in Iran since the killing of Khamenei, they have taken a decision to not attack the Gulf countries unless the Gulf countries attack them. So this is what Pezeshkian said, for which U.S. President Trump replied to this statement from Pezeshkian by claiming that Iran has surrendered to the Gulf countries. That is where we are, everybody. That's where we are in all of this. Instead of Trump using this statement from Pezeshkian, Iran's Interim Leadership Council has approved that neighboring countries will no longer be attacked unless an attack on Iran originates from them, President Pezeshkian has said. Okay, instead of using that statement to de-escalate, which is something the Trump White House could have easily done, they could have taken this statement from Pezeshkian and said, okay, this is an opportunity to de-escalate and maybe even get to some sort of an off-ramp with this war, which is turning out to be a complete mess. We're 8 days into this and we have not gotten a regime change. And according to this Washington Post Intel report, it doesn't look like we're going to get a regime change. So they could have used this statement from Pezeshkian to de-escalate things. Instead, they do the exact opposite. The Trump administration, U.S. President Trump, goes on to Truth Social pretty quickly after this statement was issued from Pezeshkian, after we got the reports that Pezeshkian said this. We get Trump going on to Truth Social and saying that this is a total surrender. A total surrender by Iran to the Middle East neighbors. Let me read you what Trump said. Iran, which is being beat to hell, has apologized and surrendered to its Middle East neighbors and promised that it will not shoot at them anymore. The promise was only made because of the relentless U.S. and Israeli attack. They were looking to take over and rule the Middle East. It is the first time that Iran has ever lost in thousands of years to surrounding Middle Eastern countries. They have said, thank you, President Trump. I have said, you're welcome. Iran is no longer the bully of the Middle East. They are instead the loser of the Middle East and will be for many decades until they surrender or more likely completely collapse. Today, Iran will be hit very hard under serious consideration for complete destruction and certain death because of Iran's bad behavior. Our areas and groups of people that were not considered for targeting up until this moment in time. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So the Middle East countries are telling Trump, they have said, thank you, President Trump. I have said, you're welcome. Iran is no longer the bully of the Middle East. They are instead the loser of the Middle East. Oh, Iran is no longer the bully of the Middle East. Okay. Iran is no longer the bully of the Middle East. And the UAE, the GCC countries, including the UAE, they are telling President Trump, thank you. They're telling President Trump, thank you for ridding us of this bully, who Trump claims will now be the loser of the Middle East. And he said that Iran's going to be hit very hard. I was thinking UAE because after that statement from Pezeshkian came out where he said no surrender, Trump doesn't mention that in his Truth Social post. He doesn't mention the fact that Pezeshkian said, no, we're not going to surrender. He grabs on to the statement about not going after the GCC countries. But the airport in Dubai was hit. That's what I wanted to say. As Pezeshkian is saying that Iran is not going to hit the surrounding countries, the territory of the surrounding countries, it can be interpreted in a lot of different ways, actually, Pezeshkian's statement. But the airport in Dubai was hit by a drone. Now, of course, you could say that because Iran has this mosaic command structure, this decentralized structure right now, that perhaps the council, if this is true, if the council really did come up with this decision to not go after the countries in the region, that by the time all of this filtered down to to this decentralized command structure, the drone was already on its way. So you could say that as well. But we are getting statements from Iranian military officials, military sources, which are saying that what Pezeshkian said is a policy that Iran has had from day one of this conflict. They are not at war with the countries in the region, but the countries in the region, because they have U.S. bases and they have U.S. military, they are legitimate targets. This is what Iran armed forces are saying after Pezeshkian's statement. So Lindsey Graham is cheering on Trump's unconditional surrender comment. He is saying President Trump's decision to insist on unconditional surrender of the largest state sponsor of terrorism, the Iranian regime, which has been pursuing nuclear weapons, funding terrorist proxies, building thousands of ballistic missiles with the hope of one day reaching America, and has so much American blood on its hands, is the right and only approach to end the Iranian nightmare. And Lindsey Graham goes on and on in his post. It's quite a lengthy post on X. I won't read you the rest of it. I think everyone knows where Lindsey Graham is going. More war. We need more war and more escalation. The foreign policy president of the United States, Mr. Lindsey Graham. And the Wall Street Journal is reporting that it was Lindsey Graham and his lobbying efforts of U.S. President Trump to go to war that got us into this mess, that got the world into this mess, the United States into this developing quagmire. That's how this thing is developing. And it was Lindsey Graham who spent a lot of time with Trump, spoke to Trump about the dangers of Iran, about the benefits of going to war with Iran. He made many trips to Israel and worked with Netanyahu. And Netanyahu provided him with all kinds of intel and reports, which Trump brought back to the United States in order to further his position to U.S. President Trump that Trump should go to war with Iran. And then Lindsey Graham also worked on the media side of things, the messaging and the media side on making the case for this war with General Jack Keane, I think it's Keane, who appears on Fox. He's like a Fox commentator. He's their military specialist who gets everything wrong. He gets everything wrong. He's like a Ben Hodges 2.0, right? And anyway, he was working with Graham to get the messaging on war with Iran down. And they also worked with Mark Thiessen to reinforce the message. Graham worked with retired General Jack Keane and commentator Mark Thiessen to reinforce the message. The group regularly spoke with Trump, while Keane and Thiessen wrote opinion pieces and appeared on television to push for action. Graham also appealed to Trump's instincts and grievances, arguing Iran was currently weak, and reminded him of alleged Iranian plots against him during the 2024 campaign. Very interesting. So Graham also worked the assassination angle with Trump. But Trump ultimately makes a decision. Maybe he makes a decision. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't make any decisions. Most likely he doesn't make any decisions, but at least you have to make it appear as if he is making the decision. So that's what the Wall Street Journal is reporting about the people involved in influencing Trump so that he could greenlight a war with Iran. There are reports which claim that Condoleezza Rice from Bush times, Iraq 2003, she is going in and out of the White House, meeting with the Trump administration, advising the Trump administration. Now, Condoleezza Rice could be advising the Trump administration on the success of Iraq WMD. God help us. God help us. You go to Condoleezza Rice out of all the people to seek advice from. You go to Condoleezza Rice. She could also be meeting with the Trump White House on behalf of Chevron and Big Oil, Big Energy, of which she is a representative or lobbyist or an advisor to. I'm not quite sure what her position is with the big energy and oil companies, but she definitely has very close connections to them. So Trump had one of the energy officials in his White House speak to Fox News. And this guy just came out and said that the war with Iran is all about taking their oil. That is the end goal. The end goal is not only unconditional surrender, the end goal is also to take all the oil. That's what he said. We're going to take all the oil. Secure the Strait of Hormuz, and then all the oil is ours. It's all ours. I wonder if the revenues from the oil, if the Trump White House manages to take the oil, are those revenues also going to go to these offshore accounts that you've set up for Venezuela, allegedly? Is that how this is all going to work? So look, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they said, you know, you want to secure the Straits of Hormuz. You want to try and capture and control the Straits of Hormuz to take the oil. Come on and get it. We are ready. We are waiting for you. That is what the IRGC said in a comment. Iran strongly welcomes the escort of oil tankers and that U.S. forces will be there for the crossing of the Strait of Hormuz. And we are, by the way, awaiting their presence. 2 miles is my understanding of the choke point, the Strait of Hormuz. 2 miles, that's it. And very mountainous area as well. Very easy to hide weapons and to attack tankers or warships that try to cross this 2 mile choke point. So the price of oil is surging. It is surging 90, is it 90, 91? 92 as of yesterday. The global benchmark Brent crude futures were up over 8% to over $92 a barrel, while WTI rose over 11% to over $90 a barrel, both highest since September 2023. Commercial traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, a critical waterway between Iran and Oman, that carries about one-fifth of the world's oil exports, has come to a near complete halt, according to Bloomberg. The USS Bush, so I was talking about Bush, but I think the USS Bush is named after Herbert, the H.W. Poppy Bush, not the dunce son, George W. Now, Poppy Bush, his carrier group, is now heading towards the region. The USS George H.W. Bush deploying to the Eastern Mediterranean. This will be the third carrier strike group in the region. 3 carrier strike groups in the region. What was supposed to be a 3 to 4 day regime change operation, assassinate Khamenei, the government collapses and Trump gets to pick the leader, has now turned into 1 week and possible boots on the ground, trying to get the Kurds to go in first, trying to get Azerbaijan to go in. Now there's talk about U.S. boots on the ground, National Guard, perhaps the U.S. National Guard might be called up to head to the region. And now we have another aircraft carrier group. And it was only supposed to be a 3-4 day weekend regime change operation. That was the plan, and as the Washington Post is reporting, the intel was telling us there was going to be no regime change. You should have known, Trump, there was going to be no regime change. That's what the intel report was telling us. Are they going to throw Trump under the bus, the intel agencies? Is that what they're preparing for? So Pete Hegseth, he gave an interview to 60 Minutes, and he was asked about Russia and Russian intel, which is being used by Iran. Allegedly, Russian intel is being used by Iran to strike at U.S. Military targets. And Pete Hegseth, he kind of brushed off the whole Russian intel thing. He said, we understand. We understand where all intel is coming from. We know where all intel is coming from. We have the best intel in the entire world, so we see and hear everything. But that's not our concern. He said the only ones that need to be worried, he said that's not our worry. He said the only ones that need to be worried right now are Iranians that think they're going to live. What a maniac. He is. He's such a maniac, Hegseth. All he's thinking about is death, destruction. That's it. Death and destruction everywhere. That's Hegseth. We're gonna destroy everything. We're gonna bomb everything. We're gonna kill everything. Bomb, bomb, kill, kill, death, destruction. That's all he cares about, Pete Hegseth. Where's the keg? Where's the keg? Give me a beer. Bomb it, bomb it. Death, destruction. More death, more destruction. Kill, kill. What a maniac. So the Russia thing, let's talk about the whole Russia narrative that is now starting to come up. Russia and China, actually, because of the reports from the media where they are saying that China is now going to provide all kinds of assistance to Iran. And this is a cause for concern. Where is it here? U.S. has intelligence that China may be preparing to provide Iran with financial assistance, spare parts, and missile components, this is according to CNN. And then we have the Washington Post. That Washington Post. Saying Russia is providing Iran intelligence to target U.S. forces. Officials say the targeting information has included the locations of American warships and aircrafts in the Middle East, the officials said. And so the neocons, the globalists, all the politicians in the collective West, especially the pro-Ukraine crowd, they are now saying that Russia is targeting U.S. troops, U.S. assets. Putin cannot be trusted. You cannot be speaking with Putin. You cannot be negotiating with Putin, as if the United States was really negotiating with Putin, okay? But you see what Putin is doing? He is providing intel to, is that a golf ball? Yes, it is. He is providing intel to Iran, which was to be expected, top flight. I'll leave that right there. Which was to be expected. Everyone knew that China and Russia were going to provide intel to Iran. I don't understand why this is such a surprise. But yeah, they're now making the case that Russia is on the side of Iran. You see that duplicitous Putin? Yeah, Putin duplicitous, okay. But the narrative that they were telling us when it came to Ukraine was that Ukraine has a right to defend itself, right? And we're going to provide Ukraine with intel, targeting, data, weapons, mercenaries, F-16s, ammunition, artillery shells, HIMARS, attack-ohms, scalps, storm shadows, sanctions, seizing Russian oil tankers, CIA covert activity in even inside of Russia, assassinating generals. All of these things are going to be provided, and we're not a party to this war, right? That's what they were telling us. We're going to give them all these things, all these weapons, all this money, all this assistance, all these missiles, all this targeting data, all this intel, all these drones hitting Russian oil refineries and gas refineries, and all of these assassinations of Russian military personnel and even of journalists and all of these things. We're doing all of these things as the collective West, as the United States. But we're not a party to this war. Not our war. We're not a party to this war. Not only are we not a party to this war, we're actually the neutral mediator in this conflict. So now we get reports, allegedly that Russia is providing intel, and Nikki Haley and the entire neocon globalist class is freaking out. Here is Nikki Haley, because I mentioned Nikki Haley, because I'm going to read you her post referencing the Washington Post article on X. Russia is helping Iran target U.S. troops. That tells you everything about trusting Putin. Don't listen to his words. Watch his action. They always point in the same direction, attacking and weakening the West. Don't listen to his words. Look at his actions, says Nikki Haley. So this article from the New York Times, a couple of years old, Nikki Haley. Bird brain is what Trump called her. Nickname just came to my mind. Yeah, he called her bird brain. That's what Trump called her, not me. I think she's very smart and very capable. And who knows, maybe under different circumstances, she could have been president of the United States. But anyway, that was Trump's nickname for Nikki Haley. So this article from the New York Times from a couple of years ago, or about a year ago, U.S. intelligence is helping Ukraine kill Russian generals. Interesting article from the New York Times. Targeting assistance is part of a classified effort by the Biden administration to provide real-time battlefield intelligence to Ukraine. Real-time battlefield intelligence to Ukraine. Wow. That's interesting. How about this article from NBC News? U.S. to expand intelligence assistance to Ukraine for strikes on Russian energy facility. Facilities, plural. Interesting. U.S. intelligence provided to Ukraine to strike Russian energy facilities? Don't look at what they say. Look at what they do. Miss Nikki Haley. So that is the whole Russian angle. Of course, Russia was going to be part of all of the discourse and the outrage when it comes to this conflict, at least coming from the globalist elite, the cool kids, the Epstein class. What else do we need to discuss? The State Department has approved about $150 million emergency sale of ammunition to Israel. Israel needs bombs, about 12,000 bombs. And so Rubio made a request to approve $150 million in emergency bombs. So Israel is running low on weapons. And there were strikes in Tehran. There were strikes in Tel Aviv. There were strikes in Bahrain. Bahrain is getting pummeled. How about the anti-Iran Kurdish military in Iraq, in Erbil? They were getting absolutely pummeled yesterday. They were getting absolutely crushed. Of course, Iran is anticipating that the Kurds will indeed be part of some sort of an invasion force. So they're hitting the Kurds in Iraq. And I think we can now go to Cuba. We can now talk about Cuba and Well, we can also discuss Project Ukraine, I guess, very quickly. The Russians launched big strikes into Project Ukraine. Ukraine tried to send drones into Russia, of course, with the intel of the United States. Ukraine launched drones into Russia, and Russia was smashing Ukraine's energy infrastructure. No more Patriots to hand over to the Zelensky regime. And this has Ukraine and the Europeans very worried. They're already short on air defense. And now whatever air defense the United States has, or whatever air defense the United States can find by going to their vassals, will all be redirected to the war in the Middle East. So with each passing day, Ukraine becomes more and more vulnerable to Russian attacks. Not that they were in a great situation before the conflict in the Middle East, but things are going to get a whole lot worse for Ukraine. So Cuba, I was going to talk about Cuba, protests in Cuba, at least. Those are the reports that we are getting. Nighttime protests erupted in Havana, Cuba. You know, I cannot confirm this. This may be some sort of fake news psyop, so keep that in mind. Trump did tell Politico yesterday that Cuba is next when it comes to his regime change plans. Cuba is the next one that is going to be regime changed. And so we get this story, these reports, that there are, let's go straight, that there are some kind of nighttime protests happening in Havana. If there's anyone in Cuba watching this video or someone that knows people in Cuba, maybe you can comment down below and let the community know if there are indeed protests breaking out in Havana, because I cannot confirm this at all. So let's do a clown world and we can wrap up this video. David Lammy, who is the deputy prime minister or the vice prime minister, Alexander said it's a pretty useless position that David Lammy has. He used to be the foreign secretary, did a real bang up job there. And so Keir Starmer put him in the position of deputy or vice prime minister. Anyway, he was giving an interview to, I think, Sky News. And he was asked about Cyprus and the British overseas territory and bases in Cyprus and Iran targeting those bases. And Lammy's response was that Cyprus is a member of NATO. That was Lammy's response. Got to protect that Cyprus, which is a NATO member. That's news to me. That's news to the world, actually. And he was foreign secretary, and he actually believes that Cyprus is a member of NATO. No, it's not. We are not a member of NATO, you know? To that point, there are politicians in Cyprus who do want to join NATO. There is a political class very connected to the globalist West that absolutely wants Cyprus to join NATO. Crazy, huh? Absolutely crazy. But Lammy believes that Cyprus is already in NATO, and who knows, maybe Article 5 next time Hezbollah fires a drone into the airbase, British Overseas Territory airbase. A lot of cats today. What is going on? We have a lot of cats in Cyprus, but today they're all over the place. Interesting. Maybe something's happening. Something's going to go down. So Lammy was also asked about the attack at the Minab school, which murdered 170 girls. And the information, which is now showing that the United States was behind this strike, the U.S. military, at least that's what the New York Times investigation is showing that is also what a recent CNN investigation showed, that this was most likely launched by the U.S. military. Alami was asked about this, his comments, what the Starmer government has to say about this war crime, and Lammy refused to blame the U.S. He would not blame the United States. He would not comment about this strike being some sort of missile launched by the U.S. military. He didn't want to talk about it. That's Lammy for you. Deputy Prime Minister Lammy. He's Deputy Prime Minister. So that's Lammy, everyone. He was a clown as foreign secretary. He remains a clown as deputy prime minister. Meanwhile, you have Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House. To this day, eight days, 1 week into this war, and he's still running around saying this is not a war. he's saying we're not at war. We have no intention at being at war. The president and the Department of Defense have made it very clear this is a limited operation. So Johnson is still under the belief that this is not a war. It's not a war. Don't need to talk to Congress. Don't need to talk to the House because we're not at war. It's a limited operation, according to Johnson. And finally, the BBC has an article with the title, Carney says he supports Iran, strikes with regret. That's a quote. With regret. He supports the Iran strikes with regret. The definition of a vassal. I support the strikes, but with regret. Because I'm not man enough to say that this is a war that should not be going on. Can't say it. If I say it, Daddy Trump is going to punish me. So I'm going to go along with the strikes, but I'm going to support them, but with regret. That's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. Maybe pick up a Carlsberg. Anyway, pick up some merch. There's a link in the description box down below. You can also find us on Substack. I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.